Hello, listener. Pastor Alex here. Before we jump into this message from God's Word, I want to give you a heads up. When editing the recording for the message, we discovered that there was a technical malfunction resulting in a very distracting feedback noise throughout the message. Because the content of this message is of great importance for our day and age, we decided to upload it anyway. We tried to edit out the feedback noise without making it difficult to hear the message, and were successful to a great degree. The noise, however, is still significantly noticeable, and for that we apologize. Our prayer is that the content of this joyful message still penetrates your heart and mind, and that by the end of it, you are filled with great joy. Thank you for your patience, and may God be with you.
This message by Pastor Alexander Ruggieri was delivered at Faith Fellowship Church in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. For more information, please call 608-935-2655 or visit us at www.dodgevillefc.com.
This Advent season, I've been blessed to look into God's Word. I actually debated at the beginning of the Advent season whether or not we should just continue going through Luke and not look at each theme of the Advent candle. And I'm glad that we didn't go that route and that we ended up going through it, because it's just been a blessing to me, at least. And we're back in the book of Luke anyway, so it works out. We're coming to the end of the year, believe it or not. And if we look back, many of us don't like what we see. This year has been full of chaos, turmoil, upheaval, and quite frankly, a whole lot of nonsense. Did you hear about the video that shows what people think about 2020? It went viral. What do people think about 2020? Well, for starters, COVID-19 was right off the bat. They said that 2020... That was a joke, too. They said that 2020 doesn't make sense. In 2019, people said that you should avoid being around negative people. In 2020, you should avoid being around positive people. In 2019, people were kicked out of banks for wearing masks. In 2020, only masked people are allowed in banks. In 2019, people said, hindsight's 2020. Now, hindsight is anything, any year, but 2020. People said that the only positive thing about 2020 was their COVID test. People thought 2020 was going to be a pretty steady year. Come to find out, it ended up having too many irregularities. Listen, so many people thought that they could win the battle this year. But it's December. And when January comes around, even though people thought they could win, it'll look like 2021. And get prepared, because the year after 2021 it'll be a repeat. It'll just be a repeat of this year. Believe it or not, it's going to be 2022. This message is entitled, Great Joy, so it's okay to laugh. However, we look back in the year, and we can be as lighthearted as we can be. But I think we all can admit that we cannot ignore the devastation that this year has brought, especially in this country, which affects the whole world, by the way.
And a recent official survey about the status of people in 2020, 40% of adults reported struggling with mental health or substance abuse. 31% struggle with anxiety / depression. That may seem like a small number, but consider that that number quadrupled from what it was in 2019. 26% suffer from trauma / stressor related disorder, which is now coined TSRD. 13% started or increased substance abuse. And 11% seriously considered suicide. And you may think, 11%, that's a small number. But consider that that figure nearly doubled than what it was in 2019. Now, the survey does not distinguish between believer or non-believer. But for the sake of argument, to put it into perspective, say that this room represents the American population. That means that in 2020, 8 of you are struggling with anxiety / depression. 7 of you suffer from TSRD. 3 of you have started or have increased substance abuse, that is, drugs and or alcohol. And 3 of you have considered seriously putting an end to your precious life that God has given you, which is murder. Is any of it true? I so hope not. So when the angels appear before the shepherds, and they say, "We've got good tidings of great joy," I think in 2020, a lot of people ought to listen. I think we all need a message of great joy right now. So we're going to ask a few questions about this great joy that was heralded from the angels. The first question is this: what is this great joy? What is this great joy that is being proclaimed from the angels? If you have your Bibles, you can see that answer right away. In Luke chapter 20, verse 10, "Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for I bring you good tidings of great joy.'" What is this great joy? It's good news. It is good news. That which the angels want you to know is good news. It's hard to find good news nowadays. Everything is bad news. Everything is fake news. Have you ever experienced where you were in a desperate situation and somebody comes running up to you and they say, "Be of good cheer, I've got good news"? Remember that feeling that you get when somebody says that to you, that curiosity, that bubble of wonder that comes up inside? I remember when I was, 8, 9, 10, somewhere around there, my stepbrother, his name was Billy, and Stacy, they would visit occasionally. They lived in Boston. That was Rhode Island, and they would visit occasionally. And whenever they visited, my brother and I were just so excited that they would come. They usually brought gifts for us when they would visit, and I liked being around them as a kid because he would come in on his motorcycle, and I would be able to ride behind him, and we'd go down the road, and it was just fun for me. And so whenever they came and visit, my brother and I would get really excited. And I remember one day, I was at my grandmother's. My brother and I were at our grandmother's. She was our neighbor. She lived right up the hill. And my grandmother got a phone call and said, "Bill and Stacy have come down to visit." My brother and I, when we heard that, our eyes just expanded. We looked at each other, and before you could say, "Put your shoes on," we just booked it out the house. We ran down that big hill behind my grandmother's house, ran into our house, and there was Bill. He was a huge guy. And I just ran right up to him and grabbed him. Just that wonder of good news. This is the kind of news that the angels are proclaiming, it's something that should produce a reaction inside of us. It's the gospel. Do you know what the word gospel means? We always hear the gospel, the preaching of the gospel. The gospel means good news. That's what it means. And there's a reason that it's good. And there's a reason why it produces that kind of childlike excitement. But we'll get to that. So second question, who is this great joy for? Who is this great joy for? Looking at verse 10, then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." I was going to ask that everybody underline in their Bibles that those words, all people. And I realized in my Bible, I didn't do it. So I'm going to take my pen right here, and I'm going to look for that verse 10, be to all people. I'm going to underline it with a pen. If you have a pen handy, underline those two words in your Bible, all people. You can do it in the Pew Bible. That's just fine. It is going to be for all people. That means from the farthest unreached people groups in some tribal land to the person sitting next to you. The message of good news is for you. There is no exception. Everyone in this church here this morning, there is good news for you. From you way back in the back of the church to the person standing in the pulpit here, there is good news to be heard. The angel said that this message of good news, of great joy, is for all people. Alex Ruggieri needs great joy. Okay? And I'll be honest. I get depressed too. Alicia knows. When my cereal consumption triples in 1 week, Alex is going through a bit of a hard time. Now someone might say, well, you have no reason to be like that. Okay? You're not a Christian in China going through great severe persecution. And that's true. You might say, you know, your life seems like it's going okay. You're not me. That may be true. I don't know what Chinese Christians are going through. I'm not them. But they are not me. They are not me. I don't know what it's like to be you. You don't know what it's like to be me. Depression is no respecter of persons. Depression doesn't need a bad circumstance. It's a work of the evil one that can affect anyone. So when I hear great joy, when I hear that there's a message of great joy, I'm in. Okay? Are you in? Then this message is for you. The glorious gospel of Jesus Christ is good news of great joy to all people, to everyone. So the third question, who is this great joy? And second question, who is this great joy for? Third question, who is this great joy? And word this question this way, because the Bible tells us that this great joy, of this good news of great joy, is a person. In verse 11, for that word for explains what is going on here. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For, because, here is the reason why. There is born to you this day in the city of David. What's that city of David, anybody? What's that city of David? That's Bethlehem. What is Bethlehem? The house of bread. The bread of life, born in the house of bread. I'll never look at Bethlehem again after studying that. Bethlehem's the city of David. There is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Jesus Christ is the great joy. He is that joy that is given to us. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you don't have great joy. You may have joy in the things of this world, the temporary sparkles of happiness that come, but what God offers is something otherworldly, something magnificent, something incomparable with anything that this world is. It is not just joy, it is great joy. We all know that. Having Jesus Christ in your heart, you're united with Him. And this Holy Spirit which He sends lives inside and lives in and through and out of you comes this bubbling fruit of love, joy, and peace, and patience, and kindness, and goodness, and so on. He Himself, not just something, not just somewhere, someone, is this great joy. Fourthly, why is this great joy? Okay? Who is this great joy? It's Jesus Christ. But why is He great joy? And it explains for us. The angels tell us, there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The reason why He is great joy is because He is a Savior and He is Lord. And we need both. Okay? Savior. The word Savior is not really used outside the church. But when you think about its meaning, it's pretty simple. Savior, one who saves. Okay? Jesus is called our Savior. He is Jesus, Yeshua. His name, Jesus, in Hebrew is Yeshua. And we pronounce that, and if we translate from the Hebrew, we pronounce that Joshua. And if we translate that and pronounce it in Greek, we say Jesus. It's the same name. What does His name mean? His name means Yahweh saved. The Lord is salvation. That's what the name of Jesus is. He is a Savior. Well, if He saves us, then He saves us from something. What does He save us from? Well, for starters, He saves us from all evil. All evil. That is a message of good news of great joy. Listen to the angels. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid." Do not be afraid. Why would anyone be afraid? Why would the shepherds be afraid when this glorious appearing of an angelic being come before them? They're afraid for their lives. They're afraid that they're going to get hurt. They're afraid that they're going to get killed, perhaps. That's the, you whittle down the fear that comes is this fear of being harmed, fear of being hurt. And the angels say, "Do not be afraid, for there is a Savior born for you." So we are to be saved from all evil. We are to be saved from the pandemic. We are to be saved from corrupt government. We are to be saved from this decaying body. That is a promise to all who receive this good news, is that there is a salvation from all evil. It is great joy to know that we will be saved from all evil. Now, this is not just trying to be peppy, just trying to be positive while people are suffering. There is suffering in this world. But the reason why it's great joy is because nothing can take it from us. Nothing can take that joy from us. Look, if you will, in John chapter 16. John chapter 16, amazing thing that Jesus tells all His people. In John chapter 16, verse 22, He says this, "Therefore," He's talking to His disciples, His truths apply to all, "Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again. And your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you." No one will take from you. He's saying, "I'm going to be crucified, you will sorrow. You will have sorrow, you will be grieved. But I'm going to come again, and I'm going to live inside of you by the Spirit, and I will give you a joy, and no one will take that joy from you." So if we don't experience joy from the Holy Spirit, it is not because something or someone took it from us. It's because we willingly gave it up. That doesn't mean we'll never feel sorrow. That doesn't mean we'll always be peppy and chipper. But we'll experience what Paul experienced when he said, we are sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. So he is the Savior from all evil. He's also the Savior from the wrath of God. Paul says that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. He came into this world to save us from the wrath and condemnation of God Almighty. And I look in the world around me and I think to myself, what is more of a fearful experience getting a disease in this world that has a very low mortality rate or suffering the eternal wrath of Almighty God? And yet it amazes me that more people are afraid of the things of this world than what is upon those who reject Him. Think about that for a minute. What should produce more fear inside of somebody if not the idea that the Creator, the all-loving, all-good, all-holy Creator, will punish for all of eternity those who reject Him and have spurned His Son, Jesus Christ? That should produce a fear like none other. And yet Jesus came as Savior to save us from that wrath, save us from that condemnation when He died on the cross. He took that punishment, He took that condemnation upon Himself so you and them and all the people in all the world didn't have to. They so accept that gospel. If you are a Christian, you are saved from the wrath of God. That is great joy. That is great joy. That we who once rebelled against God, rejected God, are now reconciled and are given a power, are changed, and are now at peace with our Maker. Though He is Savior, He saves us from all evil. He saves us from the wrath of God. Thirdly, He saves us from ourselves. A lot of Christians tend to stop at the wrath part, okay? We're saved from the wrath of God. We're saved from condemnation. It goes even further. It goes even deeper. We're saved from ourselves. We're saved from our sin. We're saved from our addictions. We're saved from our propensities to sin. Everybody knows the story account in Matthew chapter 1. The angel was telling them that they're going to have a son. And he says this in verse 21. The angel says, "She will bring forth a son to Joseph," she says, "and you shall call his name Jesus. The Lord is salvation, for he will save his people." What does it say? He will save his people from all evil. It doesn't say that, though it's true. He will save all people from the wrath of God. It doesn't say that, though it's true. The Bible says that you will name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. That is great joy. That there is a salvation given to people to actually deliver us from the sinful propensities, the sinful inclinations. He has a power that keeps us from the power of the evil one, keeps us from the power of the flesh. By the grace of His Holy Spirit inside of us, we can live above the low standard that the devil would want us to live by. It is not of our own doing. It is of God working in and through us. But that is a promise. He will save us from our sins. So why is this great joy? Because He is Savior. But it is also great joy because He is Lord. Back in Luke chapter 2, "There is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Okay? He is Lord and He is Savior. He is Savior and He is Lord. There's a debate in the church about this idea of lordship salvation. Okay? Lordship salvation. Can somebody accept Jesus as their Savior and not receive Him as their Lord? And I think about that debate and, you know, can somebody just take the Savior? Can somebody just take the Lord? And I think to myself, well, you know, you remember the shoeboxes we did for Operation Christmas Child? Imagine that somebody took a shoebox and they went to the drop-off location and they said, I am offering you a complete shoebox. And the person takes the shoebox and they open up the box and it's empty. Would that be a complete shoebox? No. Or imagine the same person comes in and they have a handful of trinkets and toys and a toothbrush and a bar of soap and they go, I have a completed shoebox. And they take it and they dump it on the table in front of the person. Would they have a completed shoebox? No. So it is with the Lord Jesus Christ. When we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, we accept a complete salvation, which means that we receive Him as the Lord and we receive Him as Savior. To use a more familiar illustration with myself, I really enjoy peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Triple deckers at midnight have been known in my life, particularly as a teenager. Imagine I said to my nephew, Simeon, I would like to give you a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And he says, oh, great. Opens up his hand and I give him a piece of bread. Would I offer him a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? No. Imagine I say to him, Simeon, I'm sorry. I'll give you a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And he opens up his hands and I take a knife and I take some peanut butter and spread it on one palm. And then I take a knife and I take some jelly and I spread it on the other palm and I say, there you go. Did I give him a complete peanut butter and jelly sandwich? No. So it is with our salvation. When we receive Jesus Christ, we are receiving all that He is. And He is our Savior. He saves us from our sin, but He is our Lord. Do we have to submit? Do we have to obey in order to receive that salvation? No. But as a result of our salvation and being saved from ourselves, being saved from our sin, we want to and desire to follow Him and submit to His Lordship in our lives. That's how it works. It's a complete package. He is Savior and He is Lord. So why is this great joy? Because we have a Savior and we have a Lord. Is that great joy to you? Say amen if that is great joy to you. Because we have a Savior and a Lord. What if we took that away? What if we took away our Savior and Lord? Just take Him away. Never happened. Would we want that? No, my Lord and my Savior is my great joy, my great exceeding joy. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. Though now you do not see Him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. So that's the fourth question. Why is this great joy? The fifth question. Where? Where is this great joy? Where is this great joy? Okay? It's convincing enough. Where is it? Verse 12, this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. Where is this great joy? Well, if the joy is Jesus Christ, then the joy is in the manger. If the joy is Jesus Christ, then the joy is in Nazareth. If the great joy is Jesus Christ, then the great joy is in Golgotha. If the great joy is Jesus Christ and the great joy is in the grave, if the great joy is Jesus Christ and the great joy is risen from the grave, ascended to the right hand of the Father, it's found where He is. Wherever the Lord is, there is great joy. But you know something? There's something special. I haven't quite understood it. But there's something special about the Christmas story, the baby Jesus, that is a special kind of joy. I really don't know how to explain it. It amazes me. You know, I'm the type of person, when I go into a store and there's music playing, it's hard, it is hard, I will admit, it is hard for me not to listen to the words. It's just something. When I'm in a vehicle with somebody else, they have the radio playing, and the radio's playing music, it's just hard for me to not listen to the Word. It's just been something that the Lord, I don't know, it happened when I got saved. I didn't do it before I got saved. After I got saved, music, I wanted to hear the words. What was the message behind the lyrics? And you know, that's troubled me greatly. Because I hear some of the music coming out nowadays, and I think to myself, do you know what they are saying? Do you even realize what they are saying? And they're just humming along, tapping. I'm like, do you know what that means? Do you even know what they're trying to get at there? And it bothers me. And there's so many songs that it's not even like subtle. It's like direct insults to the Christian faith. Direct insults to the Christian faith. Popular, top chart song. And if you ever want to know what the mindset of the culture is, just look at the lyrics of the top chart songs and you'll know exactly what the culture's thinking. Okay? If you want to know what the culture's mindset is in our day and age, Google search top charted songs, look at the lyrics, if you can take it, and you'll get an idea. It amazes me. Christmas time comes around. And you go into the stores and what do you hear? You know, you hear jingle bells and all that. You hear the Christmas music. But every once in a while, there's Michael Bublé again singing, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild. God and sinners reconciled. Oh, you hear? No. Oh, holy night. Who's that guy? Josh Corbell, is that his name? I don't know. Some guy who sang with some famous country singer, Oh Holy Night. It's a classic, okay? And they sing it, and people listen to it, and people love it. But there's this group, interesting group, Pentatectonics, I don't know. It's this a cappella group, five of them. They sing Christmas music. Mary, did you know? Okay? It amazes me. It's like the small remnant of the Christian faith in our culture comes at Christmas time. And I know it's being thrown out the window, but it's still there. It's still a remnant. There's something about that story that still has that remnant of a peace and a joy in people's hearts. The point is this, where Jesus is, their great joy is. The closer you are to Jesus Christ, the closer you are to great joy. And the shepherds realized this when you jump ahead to verse 15. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem. Okay? He's there. Let us go now to Bethlehem, to the house of bread where the bread of life is born. Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And look in verse 16, they came with haste. Okay, they didn't drag their feet. They came with haste and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And they had great joy. Psalm chapter 16, verse 11. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your presence is fullness of joy. We will probably not experience fullness of joy, great joy, if we are not spending intentional time in the presence of Almighty God. I know it's true for me. At least it's true for me. If I'm not spending intentional time in the presence of God in prayer throughout the day, I don't experience great joy. So where Jesus Christ is, there great joy is. The closer we are to Christ, the greater we have that joy inexpressible that Peter talked about. So where is this great joy? Wherever Jesus is. Sixthly and lastly, what do I do with this great joy? Okay, we got it now. Shepherds are there. What do we do with this great joy? This great joy is intended to do something to us. It is not to be received and just lie stagnant. Great joy has a reaction to it. When you get tickled, it is a natural reaction to laugh. Unless you're a lizard. I tickle her, she just stares at me. I don't get it. All she has to do is point her finger at me and I start giggling like the Pillsbury Doughboy. But when you get tickled, you laugh. It's a natural reaction. Well, what is the natural reaction to great joy? Look at verse 17. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known that saying which was told them concerning this child. That is the laugh of great joy. It's that you want others to share in it. Great joy is anything but selfish. Great joy doesn't want to keep it all to itself, to oneself. There is a desire, a reaction, natural reaction, just like getting tickled and you laugh, is a natural reaction to release it to others, to share it with others, to find those who can have an experience and join you in the wonders of this great joy. Who have you shared great joy with lately? Who have I? Our answer reflects if we need a fresh fullness of great joy. But the natural reaction is not just to share it with other people. There's something else that happens. In verse 20, then the shepherds return, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen and heard, as it was told them. Not only do you just want to share with others something about that great joy that makes you turn and look to God and put your eyes on Him and place your heart at Him and fall at His knees and praise Him and just worship Him and just adore Him and just sing songs and melodies in your heart throughout the day and just wake up and want to be in His presence. There's something about that great joy that makes you glorify, lift up, exalt, praise God Almighty. Oh, I need a freshness. We all need a fresh fullness of that great joy. What is this great joy? It's good news. Who is this great joy for? All people. Who is this great joy? Jesus Christ. Why is He great joy? Because He is Savior and He is Lord. Where is this great joy? In His presence. And what do I do with this great joy? Share it with others. And live a life of praise and glory to God Almighty. Brothers and sisters, 2020 has been a difficult year. But do not fear. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. I close with a quote from Cyprian, a church father who lived in the early 200s. He was writing to his friend, and he said this: Donatus, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, Donatus. This is a cheerful world, indeed, as I see it from my fair garden, under the shadow of my vines. But if I could ascend some high mountain and look out over the wide lands, you know very well that I should see pirates on the seas, armies fighting, cities burning, in the amphitheaters, men murdered to please applauding crowds, selfishness and cruelty and misery and despair, all under various roofs. It is a bad world, Donatus, an incredibly bad world. But I have discovered in the midst of it a company of quiet and holy people who have learned a great secret. They have found a joy which is 1,000 times better than any of the pleasures of our sinful life. They are despised and persecuted, but they care not. They are masters of their souls. They have overcome the world. These people, Donatus, are the Christians, and I am one of them. Are you one of them?